I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, man, get your weekend started right. Twin Peaks, Kennesaw, special broadcast of this show. We'll be there from 2 to 6 on Friday, eating and drinking and enjoying all the scenic views, getting you ready for game 2 of the NBA Finals and much more as we head towards a big weekend. Friday, 2 to 6, Twin Peaks, Kennesaw, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Make sure you come by. We are going to talk more about Drake London's extension, which is a big deal. But before we get into the dog report, there is a dog story and then a Falcon story that is out there that we just kind of want to get out there and clear the air, Mike, because this is kind of what we were waiting on. We didn't know how soon it would happen. We thought maybe, all right, before the season starts, but it's been even faster than that.
Yeah, we were worried that Zachariah Branch would have to deal with the hassle of having to go to court over this. Now we find out state prosecutors have dropped criminal charges against our new wide receiver. Remember, was arrested April 19th in Athens on two misdemeanors for allegedly not following a police officer's commands. His attorney, Kim Stevens, tells ESPN the state prosecutors reviewed the evidence, including videos, I presume maybe that means body cam, and dismissed the charges. So the charges have been dismissed against Zachariah Branch. You and I kind of felt it was an overstep from perhaps, an overeager a member of the Athens Clark County PD. They said that Zachariah cooperated fully with law enforcement, did not commit a crime. We all thought this, it screamed Barney Fife. It just seemed like a guy, you'll respect my authority, move on the sidewalk. And he didn't move in a timely fashion, and the whole thing, a great big nothing. And I hope it didn't affect him as far as his draft status, but he was projected to be a second rounder. We got him in the third.
Yeah.
I don't know if some team saw that. And again, and just more, it's embarrassing for him outside of Atlanta. We knew what the circumstances were around it, but it was still, something should never have happened.
No. I think most people feel the same way. I would be even willing to say it was kind of an egregious arrest from the standpoint of, the cause.
Right.
Diffuse. Right. De-escalate. If kid's on the sidewalk and, you're asking him to move, what's the big deal? And especially if they knew who he was, right? Let's just be honest. Everybody's not treated the same. He's a football player at Georgia. Hey, Zachariah, come on, man, help me out. I'm trying to maneuver. I think it just could have been handled in a different way. But nevertheless, he had to deal with that. And so the good news is it's behind him.
Right.
And so.
And apparently there were many people that were on the sidewalk at the time. It happened to be him who got pinched over it. Either way, good to know that that's in the rear view for Zachariah Branch. Charges dropped in Athens, Clark County.
All right, man. Let's talk about what's going on today, because the big news around college football is Nick Saban in front of Congress. And he had a few things to say. Let's talk some dogs. Look, do I think change needs to happen? Yeah. But it's got to come from a bipartisan bill that actually affects the entire country, Mike. It can't be one conference. It can't be one school. And that is really what the fight is about. Mm. And so Nick Saban asked Congress today to bring order via this college sports bill. And again, it's not the end-all of end-alls. No bill is, guys. It's not going to answer all the questions and fix everything. But you got to have a starting point. So he said Congress doesn't need to micromanage college athletics, but we do need, enforceable rules. Here is Saban talking today, first on the growth of NIL.
Let me give you the history. My first year we had collective at Alabama, $2.7 million. Next year, $7 million. Next year, $10 million. I retired. Next year, $17 million. Next year, $24 million. Now you have schools that have close to $40 million rosters. So if we continue to do that, we're going to lose Olympic sports. We're going to lose non-revenue sports. We're going to lose scholarships. And basically what's going to happen is you're going to have football and basketball succeed, and we'll have club sports for everything else.
Yeah, it's one of the things that Kirby has pointed out as well, talking to the media at the coaches' meetings down in Destin, that all the TV revenue that is driven from basketball and from football basically pays the freight of the sports that don't really get that juice. Now, women's sports is getting more and more traction on TV with ESPN and the ACC and SEC networks, for that matter. But the lifeblood of the program, Carl, is the money that comes from the football and basketball TV money.
It is. And look, Saban's not telling a fib there. Even though I will say this, I do have a problem with Nick sitting there and acting as if when he was doing this, it was all above board. Like it was all fair and equal. And it wasn't. But here's what he said about it becoming an arms race in college football today in front of Congress.
It's become an arm race. Who spends the most has got the best chance to win. But I think it's a race to the bottom because if you don't spend to win, you lose your fan base and you don't have any revenue.
That's it. And it becomes the ultimate haves and have-nots. Now, the only thing is the top 25 generally is the top 25. And maybe you could argue, expand it across to the top 40 in college football as far as programs. Like, you know, Georgia Tech was out there for a minute. Now they're back in the mix. But generally, it's the same teams. You know, it's the same conferences. You know, one thing it has done is allowed potential bottom feeders. And that's the counter to Nick's argument is Indiana was the worst program in the history of college football. They just won a national championship.
Yeah. Here's my issue, Mike, with Coach Saban, who, by the way, is the greatest. I'm not going to debate that. But you retired because when the rules changed, it didn't benefit you anymore. And you realized all those payments under the table, Alabama fans, you heard me.
Well, are you saying that Nick Saban was aware? You're going on record with this? You feel Nick Saban was aware of improprieties involving Alabama?
Mike, if it's on this 100,000-watt radio station, it's being said. Yes, I'm on the record. Here's the deal. Everybody now can do what Alabama did for so many years. You guys don't want to say that, and you don't want to face it, but it's the truth. Guys, how the hell did Nick Saban get all these number one recruiting classes year after year? You're just going to tell me it was the best place for every recruit to go? I'm not buying that. And as a matter of fact, I don't believe that for one second. So him being a guy in front of Congress, yes, he's probably the right person to give this message and to talk about the state of college football. But let's not fool ourselves. He quit and went home because, Mike, when the rules changed, it didn't benefit him anymore. And he couldn't do the things that he was able to do because everybody's able to do it now.
Yeah,
and so here's the thing. When Alabama was dominating, right, and they were allegedly paying guys, nobody was saying anything because it was just, all right, common knowledge, all right, fine, he'll get the players he needs to get. And the thing is now, you just said it, teams are outspending other teams, and now he's talking about this arms race. It's just ironic to me. It's almost hypocritical that when he was involved and he was doing it and he was the guy and they were winning a lot, nobody was saying anything, and now the rules have changed, and it's completely different.
Well, I mean, Nick's always been the guy to sort of, you know, get something that he doesn't have, complain about it, and then adapt to it. You know, famously, you know, when Gus Malzahn in the up-tempo offense, remember how, oh, that's a dangerous offense. Kid's going to get hurt. Too many, I mean, like, what?
Running 90 plays.
And then all of a sudden, Alabama's doing it. But I can't agree with you that Alabama, you get proof that Alabama was cheating?
Do I need it?
Well,
do I need it?
I think he's a really good coach, and I think he created a machine and a pipeline, and people want. We've talked to players and parents whose kids went there for a reason. The same reason kids will take Kirby's less money to go play for Georgia over another school because of what they expect to get and get developed for the NFL.
But what you're seeing with Kirby now is he's not getting those number one classes again.
Right. There's a reason. But you prove to me that Nick Saban had.
There's a reason.
Prove to me that Alabama was paying players. You think in the world we live in that Auburn and everybody else who wants to knock Alabama off the perch wouldn't have had a smoking gun to send to the NCAA. The last time that Alabama had a high-profile investigation was a bunch of boosters who went renegade trying to get a big defensive lineman from Memphis.
No.
I mean, that's show me more.
Here's the deal. Everybody was doing it. They just weren't doing it as good. That's the thing.
Well, that's so and, you're and, telling and so me that Alabama was as dirty as the Southwestern Conference in the 80s. That's what you're saying to me. And you're not offering any proof. You're just telling me alleged and hearsay.
No, I'm telling you it's unchecked corruption. And
how has it been corrupt?
In college football.
But, so prove to me that Alabama, how?
And accepted. It has been. And that's the irony to all of this is now it's out in front of everybody. And now everybody can cut these checks. And now the game has changed. And now, oh, my God, we've got to change it. That's the hypocritical part.
I disagree. You've got to give me some proof that Nick Saban was doing things dirty in Alabama. When any time a team and a program evolves to be the elites and everyone else is trying to play catch-up. I mean, one of the things that he talked about, I will give him this, their collective, it was described, as not one being the elite collective. So you're telling me they went from having this amazing behind-closed-doors system in which players got paid off, and now it's legal. They can't put it together in 3 years? I can't agree with that. It makes no sense.
Well, the coach changed.
Yeah, but I mean, they still weren't.
The message changed. the mechanism in which it all worked
so
and made it work
now it's legal
has
and,
changed.
So now it's legal in Alabama. So, but you're telling me is.
And Alabama hasn't fallen off. But, that's the irony to all this. Coach DeBoer's on the hot seat, Mike, because they're still getting really good players.
But
it's not
Alabama
they suck.
Still doesn't have, when you look at the top rankings, the Texas Techs of the world, the University of Texas. I mean, so by your rationale, I can say that Texas has been cheating this whole time, too.
Got the wrong players.
Everybody's been cheating.
Of course. got the wrong players.
Like you can't say we can't say.
But I'm saying
Nick Saban. We got to have proof.
You can't make
Saban.
A blanket statement without giving me some proof about
but
it.
But come on,
it's
Mike,
like
saying, you know,
it's like everybody who says, "Oh, Cam Newton." Everybody knows Cam Newton was going to get money from Auburn.
On, Mike, I could give you proof, but I am not going to out sources that know what's been going on in college football. Okay, and with that said, there are enough people who talk in and around it that know. It's just every coach now is like, yeah, SEC was really good, and this is not a knock. But everybody knew the SEC was doing a little extra to get the guys they were getting.
No, I think the SEC had the best coaches, and they were putting guys in the NFL. You're giving me unsubstantiated nonsense about you can't even give me cite an example where Alabama was paying somebody off.
Every team in the SEC had great coaches. That's not true.
You just talked about Alabama. What's the difference between Alabama and LSU over those years? LSU had all the money in the world.
And he
he
went there and won.
And poor coaching.
Irony?
Yes. And then he left and he goes to Alabama. He's a good coach. Nick Saban is the best coach in the history of college football.
I said that to start the statement. Not the debate. But the debate is the mechanism in which how this is all done.
Yes, it has
changed.
But again, he was also a guy that did things we thought at a better. He built a machine. He had the best coaches. He had the best program, the best weights, the best everything.
How?
Because people invest in the program.
Oh, exactly. That's how.
All right, so who got paid at Alabama, Carl? Give me a player. Give me a player who got paid at Alabama.
It's not for me to say that.
Nonsense out there without being able to back it up with a kernel of truth.
Because you disagree with it and you don't know anybody that would tell you this.
Okay, so you know all these people. You got a great chance at an expose here. Let's hear it.
I'm giving it to you. You're hearing it live on the radio.
So who got paid at Alabama?
Here's the deal.
Who got paid at Alabama?
Everybody.
Who, Carl? Who got paid at Alabama?
Now you're pulling me? You're pulling my act?
Because you're throwing nonsense out here.
Everybody was doing it.
Okay.
Some were doing it better than others.
And so the NCAA, need to be relevant, more relevant than ever, the NCAA apparently has no inroads on bagging the biggest animal out there to get to basically expose the fraud of Alabama.
Okay.
The NCAA couldn't get anything on them because so good at it.
So this tells you exactly what you need to know about where you're at. Why would they?
Why? Because Nick Saban's untouchable. They're too big to fail? That's what you're going to say?
Why would they?
So now you're going against your own argument.
No. You just said the NCAA would want to bag him. Why would they? Everybody's making money.
Okay.
Why would they?
So why did the NCAA go after USC at the height of their powers? Why did USC have to vacate a title when USC was putting up two tremendous TV numbers and they were going to use the championship year after year?
Why hasn't anybody else gotten the death penalty?
Why didn't anyone ever prove that Cam Newton
why hasn't anybody else gotten the death penalty?
Well, they also, you know the reason to that. They knew they could never go back to that.
But you're asking questions
take scholarships away. There's degrees of where you can investigate and then punish. So how come Cam Newton, no one's ever provided the smoking gun on the great everyone in the world who other than Auburn fans tells me Cam Newton got paid and his family got paid for him to go to Auburn.
I don't know about that. Here's the other thing I would tell you about Coach Saban, that Coach Saban has been good for football. He's been good for college football. This hasn't been a negative mark on the game. And when you start to win and do the things he did at Alabama, Mike, it helped the sport. As a matter of fact, it helped the SEC ascend to what everybody said was the best conference, when in fact it was Alabama carrying the conference.
The thing that Nick Saban did that cheated, you had the gray shirt phenomenon. He did some things to skirt the rules. But if you want to talk, I'm sorry, you can't throw stuff like out there without giving me proof.
No, I absolutely can't.
Well, you can't apparently, but I would not do that. I'm not going to throw something out there I can't
that's
prove.
That's you. I'm telling you what I know and what went down, and that's the irony for me with Nick Saban being in front of Congress saying this. You did the same things when you were at Alabama, and now it's, there's a war, and there's what was the phrase he used? A battle? What was the...
A race to the bottom now.
A race... That's been going on. College football fans, you can't deny this.
Well, the NCAA went after the Southwest Conference. We know what happened with SMU, but they also realized that you can never go that far with the penalty. But subsequently, schools have been investigated by the NCAA in the last 25 years.
Okay, so let me ask you this, Mike.
Now, we can argue.
Sign-stealing scandal at Michigan?
Right.
That's about as bad as it gets. You sent a guy to be on the sidelines of other schools to steal their signs so that you would know what plays.
And they gave him a slap on the wrist.
Why?
Too big to fail.
It's Dukes and Bell.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
It's funny, in the break, Day-Day said, I think I heard Nick Saban say he had a collective when he started at Alabama. And so Mike and I were discussing his soundbite. We'll let you hear it again here. But then we came to the uniformity that opinion, that is, of Saban's talking in front of Congress today about before he got out of coaching, when NIL kind of got rolling.
In other words, 21. Yes. The summer of 21 is when it first became legal to get endorsements, just like, you know, Stetson Bennett got his deals with Cane's Chicken and all that stuff.
And how it's escalated, the numbers. Right. So let's hear this again, because when you hear it, it's a little misleading, because he says when we started, he's not talking about his first year at Alabama. Here it is.
Let me give you the history. My first year we had collective at Alabama, $2.7 million. Next year, $7 million. Next year, $10 million. I retired. Next year, $17 million. Next year, $24 million. Now you have schools that have close to $40 million rosters. So if we continue to do that, we're going to lose Olympic sports, we're going to lose non-revenue sports, we're going to lose scholarships, and basically what's going to happen is you're going to have football and basketball succeed, and we'll have club sports for everything else.
Yeah, so he's talking about the 21. So in other words, that was the article I was referring to, that Alabama didn't really have a great collective compared to Indiana or Michigan or Ohio State. And, you know, in the case, and even now, it doesn't rank as one of the more, that's why I just have a hard time that they could work this clandestine payoff system to get the great athletes, and then all of a sudden now it's legal and they can't put it together. But, and you've been at a great point with Michigan, though. They gave Harbaugh a 10-year show cause, but he's never coming back to college.
It's a joke.
He's in the NFL and that's it. And they lost, I think, 25%. It was a percentage of scholarships. Mm-hmm. And a fine. But again, at the end of the day,
because
something that was clearly cheating.
It was.
It was a slap on the wrist from the NCAA.
And part of this is they're not going to kill Alabama either. And that's the whole gist of this, right? It's we want enforcement, but we don't want death penalties, and we don't want to overstep in the sense that it's going to hurt the sport. Because the reality is the sport is thriving. And if you're just joining us, I just simply said, look, Nick Saban and being in front of Congress, he may be the right guy. I do think we need a framework, okay, across the board that you can enforce the rules fairly for everybody. And right now you got state rules, Mike. You got conference rules. And this is why the NIL, he's talking about teams spending more than others. There's no formal rules in place across the board. I think we need that. But I also think it's somewhat hypocritical, because I said this and then Blake hit me up and said, Dukes, Saban didn't retire because it was going to be too hard to adjust NIL or the transfer portal. He left because coaches can no longer build culture through hard work and recruiting and coaching. What's Kirby doing?
Well, Kirby's trying, but last time I checked, Georgia hasn't won an Natty in 3 years or gotten out of the Sugar Bowl in the last two. And now the recruiting class is 16th. So you could argue that, you know, all the great players now, there was a concentration of the best players, and they know to go to the NFL if they went to an Alabama, an Ohio State, a Georgia, a Texas, you know, back in the day, a USC. And now everybody's got a shot because everybody's got their money out, and that's where Indiana, and again, that was a unique situation. Half of James Madison transferred to Bloomington. But to my point that I was trying to make is I just don't think that a school, if it was doing it, they can do it in a vacuum. That somebody, just like we had that stuff that came out of the SEC coaches meetings in Destin, where you got Ole Miss basically saying, oh, you think we're dirty? It's like, you know, I mean, now LSU, it's like a whole other country in Louisiana, if we're honest.
It is.
And there's always been a different set of rules out there. But it's hard for me to believe that if somebody was operating at that level, that nobody else is going to rat them out, other than your argument that the NCAA is going to stick their head in the sand because it's bad for business.
I would tell you this, and I've heard this from coaches over the years. Mike, the Indiana story couldn't have happened 25 years ago.
No. It's an impossibility.
Because you know why? The big schools would have said something. There's no way they can be doing what they're doing unless they're doing something
that's
illegal.
That's what got SMU. SMU was not a powerhouse in the Southwestern Conference for years.
And guess what? If you're up here and they're down here, I don't need those folks down here to be up here with us. And when that happens, Ole Miss and Hugh Freeze, remember the number one recruiting class? Everybody lost their mind.
Hugh actually had an 800 number so you could could report if you knew something. Remember, he took all of Grayson that year.
Kim Dichie, all those kids. Day-Day, you remember? All those kids. And everybody's like, how the hell is Hugh Freeze? We don't need them to be up here. And everybody freaked out. I'm just telling you, and I don't have a problem with it, but let's be real. And if you're an Alabama fan and you're offended by the idea, I'm not telling you Nick Saban didn't work hard. Anybody that's been around him will tell you that. I've been around people who've been around Nick Saban. He is everything that you would want in a coach. But the other side of that is getting players, there's always been an art to it. It's more than just telling mom and dad that you're going to get an education.
No. I mean, as I said, I'll stick with my guns on this. I do think that Saban built up a program. He's a great coach. He builds things up from the ground up with great assistance. You know, he went through so many coaches and maintained a high level. I mean, it's not like Dabo all of a sudden. I know, again, so you're telling me that basically Dabo, they started passing the hat in Death Valley? I mean, he wouldn't even take transfers. I mean, so that's why I just think
Dabo and why the program has regressed.
Well, again, he got behind the eight ball on the transfer portal, but then he also built something organically. Yeah. I feel and made a success. And again, when South is when he lost his elite coaches and he never replaces better coaches and recruiters.
The mechanism. This is what I'm talking about. Why was Saban able to go to LSU when Alabama was still very Alabama and win a championship?
Yeah, but you're going through a litany of mediocre coaches after Bear Bryant. I mean, I got to be honest.
But that's my point, Mike. That's the mechanism. This is what I'm saying.
But I don't think that Nick Saban comes to the list. Oh, by the way, I need a slush fund of $5 million to get my players. I can't truck with that. I don't buy that.
Didn't use that language.
Call me naive. I can't believe in a world of the SEC where we've been at the SEC meetings where Philip Fulmer got served with papers. Okay, so I mean, somebody's going to keep their mouth shut and somebody's not going to rat out on somebody operating at that level.
It depends on how much you're like, Mike. It depends on how well you're received. It depends on what your value is. See, we see this differently because I've just had too many conversations with people who have said these things, and I go, there's no way. And in fact, there is a way. Again, I'm not simply pointing my finger at Nick Saban and telling you this. All I'm saying is it's been this way across the board, and now it's legal, and everybody's doing it.
Now, I will agree that Nick Saban, over the years, if he doesn't have something or he doesn't like something, he's going to use his platform to tell you about it until he adjusts and pivots and then gets it going. So that refutes your argument is, if he was so good at paying players, when it came time to paying players, he wasn't that good at it because they slipped.
Yeah,
so,
he got the wrong guys. He'd tell you that. He would say that. He's actually said it on national TV when they talk about NIL and paying players, and he always says, it'll get you in trouble if you pay the wrong guys.
Right.
Well, I mean, that's from experience.
They slipped because they always had quarterbacks for 1 or 2 years that fit what he needed, and then Jalen Milroe and things started to slip. You know, and that's kind. I just of the opinion nobody could pull. If you're telling me that everybody is doing this and it's the wild, wild west, and the NCAA says, oh, I can't get involved because it's like handing out speeding tickets in the Indy 500. I just can't imagine in the SEC specifically that someone's not going to drop a dime on you if you're cheating.
Mike, you don't think anybody in the Big Ten wants to drop a dime on Ohio State?
Well, everybody's looking to get Michigan, and look what happened. Their great reward was a slap on the wrist, and Harbaugh's off to the NFL.
I'm telling you, everybody in the Big Ten hates Ohio State, okay? Right. Everybody. Ohio State gets everybody just like Alabama, from the Midwest to the Northeast. Now they're going out West. You're telling me that's not the case?
We had a guy suspended at Ohio State for tattoos. free tattoos.
That was back in the day.
We had Maurice Claret. I mean, that was. I mean, you want to talk about it, too big to fail? They went after Ohio State on the cusp of a national championship. That's why I don't agree with Alabama's too big to fail.
But nothing happened. Ohio State's still here. They're still winning national championships. It hasn't hurt their program.
They lost it with Tressel. Never got back. They never got back to that level
until they hired the mechanism.
Well, then Urban Meyer comes in.
Correct.
Now we can talk all day about Urban Meyer. Now again, another guy talking about a target on his back. How come he never got? No one ever dropped a dime on him until he has a dirty dancing episode in the bar. But that's not about guys paying players.
No, but actually they. I mean, look what he did at Florida prior to the Ohio State. Everybody knew. That's my thing. Everybody wants to ignore it because if it's not your team,
No, I don't think everybody knew that Florida was paying players. Everybody knew that he was looking the other way for all the jerks that they brought into Gainesville, and he let them get away with murder, literally, in the case of Aaron Hernandez.
No, he did, but he had very talented roster.
And Rainey let guys push coaches around. That's why he's a hypocrite. He preaches discipline, but meanwhile, the inmates run the asylum in his program.
Well, but he did it there.
But it's still not paying players. You can't prove he paid players.
So now you're going to say Urban Meyer didn't do this?
I got to have proof, man. I get it.
Hey. I'm confused. I'm serious. What? So you don't think... Are you saying you don't believe?
If I'm going to say something on the radio, I got to have some degree of proof. I mean, I got to have an opinion on something. Oh, that team's dirty.
No, you don't have to have proof because people get on the radio every day and they don't have a cent of proof.
But I mean, look, Skip Bayless has been lying through his teeth for years. Maybe I should start.
So are you
maybe
saying
I should
you're
start
just
lying.
Weighing? No, I'm just.
No, I
are you
know,
wearing
just,
a blinder?
No,
to
I'm just
what's
saying this.
Going
if,
on
no,
in college
I'm not saying that for a blinder. Prove it. I'm saying prove it.
But who has, Mike? In 50 years, who's proven it? Well, that would be my question to you. With all the resources the NCAA has had, who's proven it?
The only time Alabama got nailed, and they did get nailed for paying, somebody paid some defensive lineman who flamed out $100,000, some crazy boosters. And I don't have the name in front of me. I think it was about 12, 15 years ago.
So that wasn't a directive from the coach?
The way it was reported, it was like a bunch of crazy boosters that were running amok.
But see, that's
which
what
program, which you know happens as well.
But that's
and
what
that's how SMU got because you had the boosters who kept playing it dirty.
But that's what it used to be. See, it used to be it was the boosters. Now who's dictating these payments? Who?
Well, it's the unit. You have a collective. There's a mechanism now for teams. And some teams, like, for instance, Mark Cuban put a little extra in the envelope, but they were still under the apparent limit that's so vague that they don't even know what the number is that was set by the NCAA.
No, I'm not talking about the number. I'm talking about the directive from Kirk Cignetti. Who does that come from? It comes from the coaches.
But now it's legal. You can't complain about it being illegal now.
And that's my point.
All right, so Kirk Cignetti was paying guys off at James Madison?
No, that's not what I'm saying. You're going off to the left. I'm saying that directive comes from coaches now. It used to be, the alums paid him.
Yeah, but you're telling me Nick Saban's been cheating and paying players for all the success at Alabama before it then became legal, in which case now it's legal, but now he can't get the money that he used to get off the books, and that makes no sense to me.
No, that's not what I'm saying either. Saban is and was and has been upset about the fact that the system changed and he can no longer maneuver it the way he once did. All right, what do we have coming up in Guy Talk?
What's the worst thing someone could do in your office kitchen? Probably microwave fish, right? Would that be up there?
It's stinky.
It's got to be the worst. Would you pull a gun on somebody for doing that?
What?
Stay tuned. It's coming up in Guy Talk next on Dukes and Bell.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
Uh, Hey, man, thanks to our buddy Rusty Manziel, the best in the business. We were talking earlier about, you know, Alabama when they got in trouble. It was Albert Means under them. It was, and this really was, we say renegades. Some of these phrases might not work for some of the younger demos out there, but yes, off the reservation, in other words, you worked on your own. And Mike Shula is too dumb to know that anybody was cheating. So that's one example where Alabama would probably not be cheating. And it would certainly not be masterminded by Mike Shula, the Nick Saban's predecessor. But Albert Means was a guy that got paid $150,000 by some boosters in Memphis.
That's right.
To go up there, and he flamed out later, and it was not money well spent.
Yeah, and it's funny because I said Albert, and I said Haynesworth,
yeah,
and Mike
QT.
Was like, yeah, that was Tennessee. All yeah. right,
then
man.
He stole money from the Redskins.
He did. He got the big contract and quit. Yeah, that's true.
Hey, by the way, speaking of stealing, just told Carl during the commercial break, I just got a message on my phone, and it seems legit. It's from a 63999-697-2179 number. I had to look it up. 63 is the code for the Philippines. Apple billing overdue reminder, owed advanced iCloud email anti-spam service fee, plus penalty reaches $203.47. So apparently I was somebody in the Philippines. He thinks $203.47.
That's not happening.
Abnormal. Here's the it's got, if you're going to do this, you got to make it sound like make it make sense. Abnormal bank risk block schedule deduction. Like
what is that?
Yeah. Anyway, a call. Please call the billing number again. This is where I'm just like, you know, why do I? You feel sorry because sometimes, you know, you hear about older people when you watch Channel 2 or Channel 11, they get hooked in with these scams. So let me just hold on, delete that. There we go. But anyway, thanks to Rusty earlier. Yeah. After getting my guy asked me yesterday at the gym, shout out to Jack, he's a big listener. He goes, "You really can't get it back?" I go, I'm working on it. There are some mechanisms to try to get my Twitter account back. I mean, you would think, Carl, if I showed the, you know, I'd have to cut and paste 60,000 posts of me and my photos, and here I am. And all of a sudden now, after May 12th, it's all political stuff from somebody in China. But I don't know what to tell you guys. I've been following advice from some IT folks, but it's just not happening. So I'm just at Mike Bell, ATL.
Here's the thing, too, and I'll say this. This isn't in regards to just your account, because we know other people have had their stuff taken. But this is why I'm against all this AI stuff.
Right.
Seriously, because when you need help, and you want to talk to a human being who can actually work through a situation with you, Mike,
right,
all you're getting is recordings and, you know, AI voices. And look, when I say I'm against it, there are a lot of things that it will help us for. But I also think it's stuff like this, just simple things, Mike, that if I'm a company, and Elon, right, I don't have to have somebody on the phones and people in customer service. So guess what? You have called Twitter.
Yeah.
Thank you for calling. What is your report? Thank you. I mean, it's you're not going to get anywhere.
So it's all AI. So like I said, and I got to be honest, Randy Mack talked about this a few weeks ago. He's on vacation, but Randy had the same thing. He got hacked. Joe Patrick got his stuff hacked. And Randy's like, yeah, you know what? I don't care. And Carl has to laugh because I've threatened to quit X, 50 times since you and I started working together. So this is kind of like a social media holiday in its own right. So who cares?
Who cares?
It's moving on. Hey, man, a Carnival Cruise Line passenger being praised as a hero. You ever watch those shows on Smithsonian? People have been on cruises when you were coming to the town and you're on the dock, and now you're walking back to the boat, getting off the bus if you took an excursion. Apparently some old guy, an elderly man, fell from a pier in Mexico, in Costa Maya. It was a Carnival Jubilee. This is back on May 19th. Mm. So an old guy falls in the water. What do you do?
Well, I hope somebody jumps in and gets him.
Do you look around? Is it me? Is it you?
Somebody better jump in there and help this man.
I mean, because I was...
I'm not that good of a swimmer, but somebody better get in there.
Now, I was a lifeguard. My wife and I were both trained lifeguards. Now, granted, I was too short to work at the beach. They put me at the kiddie pool, but yet still, I was a lifeguard. You know my buddy Richie, Big Richie.
He's not long enough.
Big Richie, 6'3". He got to sit on the lifeguard chair at Jones Beach, the biggest beach in the world. I'm at the kiddie pool inland, but I'm still a lifeguard. I'm still in the uniform. I've still got the little, you know.
You had the whistle?
I got the whistle. I got the floaty thing. I'm hanging around a bunch of, now we didn't call them cougars back then, but I was hanging around single moms, you know, at the Jones Beach bathhouse, which was the pool.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Hey, so, kids,
again,
calm down in there.
So I guess based on my life-saving experience, I would have to take the watch off, throw your phone to somebody, and jump in and save the guy.
I'm joking because that's what most people would say, like, somebody get in there. But
somebody save my husband.
But in the moment, like in these real-life situations, Mike, when you see people react,
right,
car accident, somebody needs to be pulled out or whatever, you just, man, people, the heroics, it's just in us. And sometimes you don't even know. But yeah, did somebody do exactly that?
Yes, a dude jumped in immediately. A guy said that the man was face down in the water when her husband, he just jumped right in. He basically threw her the cell phone and jumped in. Now, again, the pier, it looks like it's about 10 or 12 feet down in the water, managed to grab hold of the elderly man, lift him onto his shoulder, so he knew some life-saving techniques, and cradled him until a bunch of other folks who worked for, apparently, Carnival jumped in and helped him out. But it is, you know, it's funny, because sometimes you're like, is somebody going to do something? Who's going to? Somebody's got to step up to the plate.
Me. What's and up? I know that pier, I don't know if you guys have ever stopped that Costa Maya, but we've been to that pier.
So it's higher than 10 feet, it's up there?
Oh, yeah. And those the waves are pretty, yeah.
Yeah.
Costa Maya is...
I don't know if the old guy just kind of lost his steps or missed a step or something, but he went over.
But they saved him.
Yes, they did.
Okay.
And now I wonder if Carnival's going to give this guy some free cruises for doing all the work. You know what I mean? I mean, it'd be a bad story if the guy ends up dropping dead.
That should be in their commercial.
Right.
I mean, seriously, we save lives.
This guy, at least this guy. Years ago, sidebar, I'll get to the story about the microwaving fish in just a second. We were down in Savannah. My wife works in the dental industry, and some dentists, they're brilliant. They're really good at what they do, but they're just like complete nitwits. You know, they're the kind of guys like, didn't they say Albert Einstein would always forget to zip his fly? He's, you know, brilliant man, but basic skills sometimes things. We were on the ferry to take you to like where that the convention center is in Savannah. So right there on the dock, and there's about maybe not even a half a foot of a gap to just step onto the boat. And some dentist is on his phone, whoop, just goes right in the Savannah River. And anybody knows that river, zoom, you're gone.
Yeah.
You know, and so people are like, somebody. And I'm like, I'm going over here to Fat Tuesdays.
I'm not going in there.
I got to be honest. Now, somebody on the ferry boat did simultaneously jump in after him with a life preserver. Like, I'm not, number one, I'm not getting in that water. I'm not going to get squished by the boat.
Yeah.
You know, and he should have been watching where he went.
No, look.
I was ready for a 190 octane.
You got to pick and choose when you want to be
there
Superman.
Are bodies of water I'm jumping into. The Savannah River is not going to be one of them. Those giant, giant currents. Container ships in the current.
Yeah, I'm just trying to imagine, because the way that pier is set up, two ships kind of back in one way, and then there's one ship usually long way.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just wondering how he kind of may have lost his footing on that one.
Right.
That's
yeah, he's an old guy, you know.
Yeah.
Grandpa, you know. Irving, what are you doing? I'm taking a picture. Go. Now, I'm gonna step back. I'm gonna get.
I was gonna say. Now there is a portion like kind of once you get past the ships, there's water
and there's no rope,
and the land's there, and you could kind of to your point, if he was trying to take a picture, maybe he could have fallen over. But it's in an area where
but
if
guys,
people react quick enough, they can get to
it. We see this stuff, Mike. I know you got to get to this other story, but this is the kind of stuff people. You know, you're at the Grand Canyon. You don't need to be at the edge to take the damn picture. Like, why do you risk these things to get that shot? Like, I can be 4 feet in front of the damn edge and still get the same shot. And people are like, oh, she fell off. Why was she on the edge?
Every time there's a story, like literally once a quarter, you'll see a story of somebody at Moab, or you mentioned Grand Canyon or someplace, or in Italy. Oh, Positano. You know, it's like, you know, well, oh boy, you know, there's a ticket's just opened up on the flight home. All right, man. Now, former police detective, because he got fired in Myrtle Beach, is being charged after he allegedly pulled a gun on a patrolman because he heated a fish in the microwave in the police department kitchen.
That is funny.
Now, I can honestly say it's the worst thing you can do in a common area, in a kitchen. In your office, whether it's a big office or a small, but the fish smell, the microwave's going to stink for a week. It stinks up the kitchen, and there's always one jackleg who brings in fish to do it. But obviously, this guy, a 46-year-old detective, apparently was having a bad day, and apparently, according to witnesses, he goes, did you put fish in the blanket microwave? And apparently, he draws his service revolver. He goes, are you out of your blanket mind? So, again, needless to say, not exactly the kind of person you need to be working in law enforcement right now, safe to say.
No. Look, stuff that drives you crazy, though. What would drive you to that point, Mike? Is there anything?
It takes me a lot to go to the GAT, Carl. I got to be honest. I mean, certainly got to be a life challenging event where
you're always talking about the people in the slow, in the fast lane driving slow.
No, I'm never going to be that guy. Like I've learned my lesson after all the many dozens, probably two dozen driving classes that I've taken over the years to pay off my speeding tickets and get point reductions. No, and nowadays you can't. And where there's more and more road rage, there's a road rage story just the other day. I went from Cobb County over to Roswell where the cops chasing somebody, was shooting at somebody. You don't know what the guy in the other car.
You and I
both experienced that where it's like, forget it. It's not worth it.
No, it's not. It's not.
Right. Anyway.
And if it wasn't for my wife, I would have got you that day. I swear to God.
See, it's one thing. It depends on the wife. Now, back in the day when I was dating this very hot Spanish girl, go kick his ass, baby. So this, some women will give you that reinforcement, and others will say, don't do it. Get back in the car.
She was along for the ride until she realized it was real for me. And then she was like, you have a child. You have a life. Like, she started throwing out all that stuff. But yes, it's not worth it. To Mike's point, right. It never is.
Becky's big refrain over the years when I was tempted to do something like that, it was contract year. Contract year.
Throw it out there.
It's a contract year. Don't get yourself in trouble. Anyway, during the confrontation, the detective pointed his department-issued handgun. He did point the weapon at the patrolman.
That's
according
a little
to the
aggressive,
arrest.
Bro.
Yeah, I mean, look, nobody wants to smell fish in the microwave, but I wouldn't pull your weapon. South Carolina Law Enforcement Division said the detective, who's been fired, charged with pointing and presenting a firearm at a person following their investigation. He's been booked down in Myrtle Beach. Community members said they were surprised by the allegations. One guy said, if it went straight from 0 to 100 in a pistol over the fish, that's a little outrageous. Another guy said, although I don't condone heating up fish in the microwave because I can see why anyone would be upset, I don't think it warrants pulling a firearm.
I don't either. But do we know what kind of fish it was? Do they know?
Well, it's a smelly fish. It's obviously a tilapia or something that had a little, you know.
I'm just saying, like,
well, if it's catfish, it's going to smell like low tide in the kitchen, right?
Okay. Yeah, I'm just wondering, like, what triggered him? I mean,
I don't like salmon. I mean, salmon, if it's, you know, salmon, if you season it properly, but again, it's going to make in the microwave, it brings out the smell.
Yeah.
Cooks from the inside out. All right. Guess what? Yesterday we told you about MARTA. The new trains aren't apparently ready. They got to do all the safety checks on these trains that are, you know, we were going to be ready for the World Cup. Now we find out that the new glass doors that they put in are no good. They're breaking, apparently, around Metro Atlanta.
What is going on?
Well, you could argue that, just my opinion, not the opinion of the ownership sponsors or friends of the station, that MARTA is run by a bunch of incompetent people. But anyway, MARTA swapping out the glass on its new fare gates, you know, the doors that open, making it sturdier, according to the AJC in an article by Sarah Gregory. Five of them have been broken so far, according to a spokesperson. One was vandalized. Others were broken by people trying to squeeze through. Riders seen walking through broken gate at Civic Center on Tuesday. Other folks complaining that there's many of these broken glass windows or gates around other MARTA stations around town. So, yeah, some are being replaced.
Okay. I mean, like, it feels like we're a couple of weeks away. Oh, wait, we are from the World Cup, and everything that can go wrong is going wrong.
Yes, installation started last fall and is still continuing, but now they probably have to get a better kind of glass. And speaking of the World Cup, one of the things, if you've never watched soccer, and then you're watching soccer the first time, like some United fans back in 17, the offsides rule. Now, for those who don't follow soccer, it's a strange rule. In America, generally, we dictate the tempo on offense. You know, you can throw the ball behind the defense in football.
Right.
In basketball, you can throw to a guy who's goal hanging. The only place we have lines are the blue line in the NHL for offsides. And in soccer, you can't be behind the last defender. And there's, you know, like a part of your body can be. The reason I bring this up is you've seen a lot of goals disallowed over the years because a guy's offside by a hair, and it drives people crazy. Now, apparently, they're going to go to digital technology, and they're going to be using video on this, apparently almost instantaneous.
Oh.
So they're going to have sensors all around the pitch. FIFA's going to it for the World Cup. So when you have that guy that runs, you know, you have the referee in the field, the two guys on the side with the flags, those guys can still do their job, but the new technology aims to cut the delay when they go to review. So they're going to have VAR now for the for FIFA's World Cup, which we've been waiting on for years.
Okay, so, but this is good, right?
Yeah,
this is going to be good for the game.
Like anything else in sports, how many guys were – I still can't believe people push back against, you know, the robot umps in baseball, which we should go to now. The challenges are insane, and they're working, and the Braves are using it to their advantage as well.
Yeah, I'm with you. I just want to get it right, but I also don't want to be there all day. The technology allows it to happen fairly quickly, and this is good. We will get the right calls in the World Cup.
Right on. And that is Guy Talk.
All right, man, coming up, he's a top three paid receiver now. Is he a top three performer in the NFL? We'll dive into that. Grant's going to join us, host from the Diamond, and we'll talk Braves. Walt Weiss sticking it out with Bryce Elder last night. I thought it was good. And we end up finding a way to get it done. That's all on the way in the 5 o'clock hour. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.